The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
So today we're going to continue with the message that I've been talking about, unwrapping the gifts. Praise God. Thank you. Did you do that, Tina? That's awesome. Yeah, I like that. Unwrapping the gifts. And how we've got to understand these gifts are in operation in the church. They're gifts given to us to be able to use in the church and outside of the church. In the church is very important. We need to learn to operate in the spiritual gifts. We need to use them to encourage one another. And remember, that's what they're all about. They're about encouragement. They're not about condemnation. None of the gifts are meant to condemn people. They're to encourage. But when we come together here, we learn and we grow. And then the purpose is not only to use these gifts, to practice these gifts and use these gifts in the body, but to go out there and use these gifts to touch people's lives. I've heard it said that the church is like a barnyard. It's like manure. You leave it in the barn, it stinks up the barnyard. But you know, that's where it's deposited. We're the church. This is where we're deposited together. But you take it out and you spread it around, guess what? It enriches the world. Amen. Amen?
Yes, sir.
And that's what we are. We're to enrich the world. Praise God. Yeah, you know, it's good. It's deposited in that barn, but you got to take it out and spread it out. And when we get spread out and we use these gifts in our life and in the lives of other people, in the marketplace, wherever we go, people's lives are enriched in the name of Jesus. All right. I'm sorry I called you manure. Hallelujah. But I just thought that was a great analogy of who we really are. You know, we can't just stay congregated. You know, it's awesome to be able to do this. This is encouragement. If we stay congregated, it just stinks. It really does.
That's good, Pastor.
We got to get out, move, and do it. 1 Corinthians 12:10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Now, we've talked about all those gifts up to this point. We are talking this morning about prophecy. And prophecy is an extremely important part of the gifts that have been imparted to the body of Christ. 1 Thessalonians tells us, chapter 5, verse 19, says, do not quench the Spirit. And do not despise prophesying. Do not despise prophecies. Listen, there are parts of the body of Christ that despise all the gifts of the Spirit. They believe they've been done away with. I'm not exactly sure how they come to that conclusion. But we can rationalize just about anything that we want to believe. That is a reality. But the Bible is very clear. Let's not despise prophecies. And the Apostle Paul said, you know, I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. So he began to teach it. Now, remember, the gifts of the Spirit that he was teaching about and the operation of them, he was teaching them how to operate in a congregation, in a gathering, in what we call a church service, the church having a church service. A gathering of believers. Ecclesia, the body of Christ, the called out ones. Now, a lot of different names that we're called by, but one of the things that we recognize, Jesus said that that we are his ecclesia, the called out ones, and we call it the church. The church is a powerful body of believers that has been called out from the world to be different. We have a kingdom that we are to walk in. We have a kingdom all around us. We have a physical kingdom, but it also has a spiritual component. It's Babylon. Do you realize that? Do you realize this world system is a Babylonian system? That's what it's all about. Babylon, Babel, it always has been. And yet, within that Babylonian system, God has always had his people who operate according to his kingdom principles. And those kingdom principles sometimes clash with the Babylonian principles. But when they do, guess what? God's principles are stronger. They're powerful. That's why when we use these principles that we know of as these gifts of the Spirit, these things that the Holy Spirit has imparted to the body of Christ, then we can walk in supernatural power that confounds the Babylonian system and the people of this system. Amen. Praise God. The word despise, the Greek word there, it means to look down on or ridicule. Prophecy is this. It's an edifying, this is my definition. It's an edifying revelation of the Spirit for the moment. A sudden insight of the Spirit. A prompting, an exhortation, a comfort by declaring the purposes of God. It reveals things hidden, and it sometimes reveals the future, but it's not necessarily all that it does. We must get to the point where we are allowing the Holy Spirit to move in such a way that he accomplishes what he wants to accomplish. And it begins here, in this place. When we're worshiping God, we've got to allow Jesus. We've got to allow Holy Spirit to be in the driver's seat to move us in the right direction. And listen, we're humans. Humans miss it sometimes. That's okay. And when it comes to prophecy in particular, we can get our flesh in the way. But I want you to understand something. Prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. And if we keep it in that context through the gift, then we're going to be okay. Because if you keep it as edification, exhortation, and comfort for people, even if you get your flesh in the way, you're not hurting anybody. Okay? Now, I'm talking about the gift of prophecy. I'm not talking about the office of prophet. We're going to talk a little bit about that as well. That one operates sometimes a little different. But the gift of prophecy gives us encouragement all the time. So let's talk some about these things, because it's really important that we recognize that God just wants to drive us in the right direction, and that's what the gifts are all about. So here we go. We're going to talk about the office of a prophet a little bit, and then we're going to move on to the gift of prophecy. Now, the office of prophet goes way back into the Old Testament. But it really came into prominence under Samuel the prophet. Remember, Samuel was his mother prayed and asked God for a son, and God granted her a son, and she made a commitment to God that she would give him over to the Lord, and he would be raised as a spiritual leader in Israel. So when he was a certain age, she took him to Shiloh, where Eli the prophet or the priest was, and Samuel began to live there. must have been very difficult for that. She was a first-time mother to release her son. And she came back once a year to see him. Once a year she would see him. She'd bring him clothing and greet him and encourage him. And God trained him up in that place. And he became a judge, but not only a judge, but he became a prominent prophet over Israel. And during that period of time, as he became a prophet, the other things began to happen because prophecy, or being the office of the prophet, became a prominent place in society, in the Jewish society, or Israel society, I should say. And during that period of time was also when Israel decided they wanted a king. Samuel was the one that anointed the king, the first king. He anointed Saul, and he went on to, of course, to anoint David as well, God's real choice as king. But God's overall plan was not necessarily for Israel to have a king. That was the people's desire. And God said, now, wait a minute, you're going to get yourselves in trouble. But they did. They wanted it anyhow. That's what they wanted. Do you realize that God sometimes will give us things that we don't that's not necessarily good for us? Because that's our desire. That's why we need to hear from Him and have His desire. So the office of the prophet began to become a very prominent office in Jewish religious life and their social life as well. The word prophet, there's several words in the New Testament or Old Testament that were prophet. The word here is nabi. And it means prophet, but there's also a word, rohu, which means seer. And there's also another word that is translated seer as well. And these three words are used interchangeably to refer to the office of the prophet. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 29, all three of those words are used. It says, talking about the acts of King David, and it says, the first and the last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer. And all three of those words are used. And they're really referring to pretty much the same office, a little bit of little difference. And I'm sure that Pastor Otis and Prophetess Ivy can bring some clarity to that in their Insight Ministry teachings as well. And I'm not going to go into too much detail with that. But this overall gift of prophet is an important part of biblical life. We have lost some of the office and the operation of those offices in the church. Many denominations absolutely reject the office of apostle and prophet. But why in the world does Paul say some have been given apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher? We're okay with evangelist, we're okay with pastor, we're okay with teacher. Apostle and prophet? Now, wait a minute. It's an office in the church, and we need to recognize the importance of that office. So I just, you know, I'm saying this morning because I want to try to bring us to the place where we can accept the things that the Bible talks about. I don't care what man thinks and what man says. Let's look at what the Bible says about it. Let's see what God is saying about these things. What should be happening in the New Testament church today? Are prophets still a part of the New Testament church? I want to tell you something. In Samuel's day, he helped establish what was called schools of the prophets. And those schools were found all over Israel. But I want to tell you something. It's just an accepted kind of thing. These days, everybody has Bible schools, right? Well, that we kind of pattern a Bible school off school of the prophets, but in most charismatic churches, we also have teachings, insight, school of prophecy, because we want people to know and understand how important prophecy and prophetic office is and being able to operate in the gift of prophecy. But anyhow, during Samuel's time, that was new and progressive. Well, it's been revived. It's being revived. Amen. We're a part of reviving it. Amen. And it's new and progressive. And how many know that whenever you do something new and progressive, is not accepted very well in the church? You know, in the 1700s, early 1800s, you realize that piano was introduced into the church. And when it was introduced into the church, many people said, it's an instrument of the devil. Because it was used in pubs and brothels and places like that. When contemporary music was introduced into the church, once again, it's an instrument of the devil. Drums first introduced in the church, an instrument of the devil. We never learn, do we? We always, rather than embrace and realize that everything is created by God, listen, those drums can be used for the devil, or they can be used for the glory of God. Amen. And they are on Sunday mornings. Here at Bethel. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
That internet can be used for the devil, and it is a lot. Yes. But it can also be used for the kingdom of God and the glory of God.
Amen.
Facebook, I'm not a Facebooker. Or any of these other social media things. I know some of you are. But listen, make sure that you're the voice out there that's proclaiming the right thing.
Yes.
The kingdom of light, not the kingdom of darkness. Don't use that thing. Do not allow yourself to be used to tear somebody apart and tear people down.
Amen.
And destroy people's lives.
Amen.
Use it as a ministry opportunity, because that's what it is. Jesus spoke of prophets. John the Baptist was a prophet. Jesus was a prophet. In Luke, many other places, Jesus spoke of the prophets. In Acts chapter 11, verse 27, and in those days, prophets came to Antioch. Now, what I'm looking at here, these scriptures taken right out of the New Testament, we're talking about the office of prophet. These people were alive and doing well in the first century church. And the first century church is our pattern for church today.
That's right.
Is our pattern for what we do as believers in Jesus Christ. So it says that there were prophets who came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Hallelujah. So if I would say a prophet came from Columbus to Tupper's Plains, I'd be right in step with the New Testament church, New Testament early church. Because those prophets can come, and we invite them. In Acts chapter 15, verse 32 says, now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. In Acts 21:8, on the next day, we who were Paul, where Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Verse 9, and this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judah. It was not an uncommon thing for prophets, prophetess, people with the office of prophet to be a part of the first century church. But we lost this somewhere along the way. We became too intelligent, too educated, too dependent on our own resources and ability to be dependent on God and His prophetic gift any longer. So that's why it's so important that this gift is revived today. But I want to tell you something. Man has come to the place where he realizes he's not as smart as he thinks he is. Or as he thought he was. I do not want to depend on my own wisdom, my own understanding. I need the guidance of Holy Spirit. I need prophetic utterance. I need words of wisdom, words of knowledge. I need these things spoken into my life. I need to hear this today in this place. Here's what 1 Corinthians 12:28 tells us. And God set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. He set these things in the church. And when God sets something in the church, He doesn't remove it. They're here. It's here for today. It's here for us. It's set. It's set. I set a post the other day, and I used Quikrete. I pour that stuff in there. It takes a little while, but it sets up. And I can guarantee you, I don't care how strong these young men are in here, they're not going to go pull that post out of the ground. It's set. And it's going to stay there.
Hallelujah.
It's set. These things are set in concrete because God established them.
That's right.
Established it for us. Ephesians 4:11 says, and He gave some, talking about Holy Spirit, apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, to edify the body of Christ. These giftings are for the purpose of encouraging the body of Christ. And God knows we need it. We need encouraged to accomplish the things that need to be accomplished in this world today. We need encouraged to be able to stand against this Babylonian system that is very strong and very powerful.
Yes, sir.
You know, when Nebuchadnezzar set up the idol and he said, you're going to bow down and worship. You know, we read that story and we think, oh, man, you know, praise God, those guys stood strong. But they stood knowing that their life might end right then. Mm-hmm. Are we willing? Are we at that point in our faith? That if somebody walked in that door and said, deny Jesus Christ or die, what would we do? I hope we'd die. Die for Christ. Because He tells us anyone who rejects Him, the Father will reject. So we have to stand firm and we have to be strong. We have to be faithful. Now, I would say this, if somebody walked in that door with a weapon, when they came through those first doors out there, they probably wouldn't get past our welcome center. And I know for sure, you know, Mike Norman's out there watching things. And I know for sure if they came in those doors, they wouldn't get past Billy. Praise God. We've got some real men around here not afraid to stand. Hallelujah. Praise God. Prophet is someone who speaks as an oracle of God. I believe God has been in the process of reestablishing this ministry for quite some time. And I'm glad that we can be a part of that. But I want to tell you this. There are false prophets out there. I had a friend who told me one time that he had a guy who came into his office and he said, I'm a real prophet of God, and anybody that I curse, they die. He said, left his card. He said, if you need anything, call me. My pastor friend said, I started making a list. Now, he was just joking, of course. But that's how crazy it can become. Not everybody who comes along and says that they're a prophet are a prophet. How do you know they're a prophet? Well, their prophecies mean something. And they come true. I'm not telling you that, you know, if somebody has the office of a prophet and we recognize it, you take everything that they say as the anointed word of God. We're human. Right. We can make some mistakes. There's room for those mistakes. But listen, there's a lot of people running around calling themselves prophet that have no idea what a prophet is. On, look, I can tell you I'm a cuckoo bird. And I can act pretty cuckoo sometimes. But, you know, the test comes, can I fly? Well, no. So, you know, I'm not really a cuckoo bird. No matter how cuckoo a person acts, they don't fit the description of a real cuckoo bird, huh? Prophets are an important part of what we do, but we must judge carefully and allow people the opportunity to operate in their giftings and give them room and grace to realize that sometimes they do make some mistakes. So, with that in mind, I want you to understand that any prophecy, any gift of prophecy, whether it's from a prophet or a prophetic gift that flows out of somebody, you need to judge that. And I believe this. I believe that God will not give you total direction from a prophet or a prophecy without first confirming it in your heart. He will speak to you first. And if he hasn't spoken to you, you put it aside and you wait until he brings it to pass or he speaks to your heart. There is no reason to jump in and start running every time somebody speaks something to you. It takes time. Sometimes it takes years for prophecies to come to pass in your life. Hallelujah. And sometimes those prophecies do not happen exactly the way that you think they should. I've had people who felt like they received prophecies and saw visions and it just didn't happen the way they thought it was going to happen. That doesn't mean it wasn't from God. Many years ago, when we were still having church down at Chester, I had a person come to me and say, you know, I saw this place just filled up with people. People were standing on up on the balcony area looking down. There was people all over the place, kids everywhere. God is just going to move mightily and we're going to fill this place up. Well, it wasn't too long after that we were making plans to move into this place and we moved out and moved here. And that person thought that we missed God. But here's what I want you to see, that even though God gives us dreams and visions and prophetic utterance, we need not to try to judge it based on our own intellect and wisdom. Because that prophecy really did come to pass. During basketball season, every year now, when we have upward, there are probably 150 to 200 people that pass through that gym, and it fills up when the games are going on. People are standing up on that upper level or that second level looking down. That wasn't what that person had expectations of. But God just wanted us to know that he was in this thing and he was going to fulfill something that was important. It's an important ministry. The other thing I want to caution you about in regards to prophecy is, for those of you who operate in the office of prophet or feel like you have a prophetic utterance to share with somebody, a gift of prophecy, please do not use inside information to try to manipulate people. If you know something about someone, don't use "thus saith the Lord." You know, I've seen this happen many, many times. And it's not because people have evil intentions. They want to help someone. But they say, they use God rather than personal confrontation over a situation, you know? They say, you know, somebody who has bad hygiene, "Thus saith the Lord, thou stinketh. Therefore thou needest to take a bath, thus saith the Lord." Come on. We don't need to use God for such things. And I know that's ridiculous. You know, I've never really heard anybody use that. But it brings us to an understanding that, yes, sometimes we know things about people. And listen, it's tempting. It is very tempting for somebody to use that in order to manipulate you and get you to do something that they think is good for you. But let's not do that. Let's not fall into that trap. Real prophecy comes directly from Almighty God. And I have heard things said. The person steps back and says, "How'd you know that?" I've heard both Otis and Ivy both say things to people that those people just absolutely. I've heard Linda Well speak something into somebody's life, and they're astounded. How could you have known that? Well, because Holy Spirit reveals it. So I want to encourage you, if you feel like you have the office of a prophet or you have the gift of prophecy operating in your life, pray earnestly to get God's word. Because we absolutely cannot operate according to our flesh. Okay, there are some guidelines that were given in 1 Corinthians 14:29. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. Go ahead. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Okay, first of all, how do we judge prophecy? Well, when a prophecy is brought forth in the congregation, it's important that we release it so that everybody can hear it. You know, private prophecies are, we release that sometimes in this congregation only because we do not want somebody to be embarrassed by something that could be said. But normally a prophecy should be spoken in such a way that everybody can hear it and it can be judged by other prophets. Okay? That helps us stay on track. And that doesn't mean that, you know, when we say judge, that doesn't mean we're going to condemn somebody because they spoke out of turn or said something that wasn't necessarily right. It means that we're going to help judge and direct all the prophecies that come through this church so that they meet certain expectations. Here's the key to proper operation of gifts of prophecy. Love. All things should be done. If we do it in love, we're not going to hurt others. So, number one thing I want to share with you as I wrap this message up. Prophecy, whether it's the gift of prophecy or the office of prophet operating, it must be motivated by love. 1 Corinthians 14:1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So he's saying, listen, you desire all the spiritual gifts. Prophecy is extremely important. Let's use it. But whatever you do, you better do it in love. It needs to be motivated by love. Everything we do must be motivated by the love of Jesus Christ for one another. Paul warns of abuses of the gifts, false prophets and false prophecies. But he doesn't say, throw the baby out with the bathwater. He doesn't say, get rid of the prophecy because there's going to be some false prophets. There's going to be some mistakes made. There's going to be some humanness that rises up in all this stuff. He didn't say, get rid of it. He says, just be careful. Operate in love. Make sure you're loving those people that you're speaking to. Edify them, encourage them, lift up the whole church. That's what it's all about. The second thing is prophecy is, according to 1 Corinthians 14:3, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. When we're talking about the gift of prophecy, it always comes forth as edification, exhortation, and comfort. When an office, a prophet speaks into somebody's life, sometimes they will speak correction and direction for that person. It's never anything that is condemning, but it can be correction that is necessary for us as believers. Prophets, they're a part of the church to keep us on track. If we're not careful, we'll allow ourselves to get way off into left field, and prophets are supposed to bring us back to center field. That's a prophetic office. But when it comes to gift of prophecy, edification, exhortation, and comfort. Number three, it never causes confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:3, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. I know that maybe you've not been in a church before where the pastor requires, and I do require, you to come. If you have a word you want to share with the church, come and speak to me about it. I don't always have to hear every detail of what you're going to say, but we are going to do this thing decent and in order. If we do not, you see, if we have popcorn prophecies going on, people popping up all over the place, that creates confusion. You ever watch the popcorn maker? You know how confusing it must be for that popcorn popping all over the place? Popping here and popping there, and that's what we're talking about. We can't have people popping off.
That's right.
Creates issues for the whole church.
That's right.
And for people individually. So that's why we want to make sure that we just do this thing decent in order. When any of the gifts that are in operation, we want them done decent and in order. We get a lot of criticism out in the community because we do believe in the gifts of the Spirit. But if they just walk in the doors and experience the power of God and the gifts of the Spirit in operation the way they're supposed to be, they'd change their mind. They'd see what God is doing, what God wants to do. First Corinthians 14:39 says, "Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decent in order." Hallelujah. That's what we are striving for. Number four, the last thing, confirmation. Never, never take a prophetic word that is given to you, regardless who it comes from, as sole confirmation for what you believe God wants you to do. If someone comes to you and says, "Thus saith the Lord," or "I believe that God is saying," however they decide to package it, "I believe that God is saying that you're to sell everything you have and move to Africa and become a missionary." If God hasn't placed that in your heart, put that way back on the shelf. I mean, put it way back on the shelf. Because you need it. God, this Holy Spirit that lives inside of us speaks to us. The purpose of prophecy and the office of the prophet and the gift of prophecy, particularly the gift of prophet the gift of prophecy. It is particularly given for confirmation, to confirm in your life what God has already spoken to you. I have never, ever received a prophecy from anybody that I was able to grasp and run with and trust in that God hadn't already spoke to my heart and said, this is your direction. I may not have clarity on it. Sometimes prophecy brings clarity to what God wants. Long before I received prophetic words about becoming a pastor, God had already planted it in my heart. I tried to reject it. I tried to run from it. I tried to hide from it. I tried everything possible. But God just kept coming back with prophetic words to confirm, "This is what I want you to do." And He would give me clarity and direction because of it, as we took steps forward. And eventually, I became pastor of South Bethel New Testament Church, and now the pastor of Bethel, and God's fulfilling these prophetic utterances that was brought to me many, many years ago. Listen, it's okay to sit on a prophecy.
Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
And don't have expectation that just because you got a prophecy yesterday that it's going to be fulfilled tomorrow. Many times it takes years. Do you realize David was anointed when he was probably about 16 years old? He was anointed to be king over Israel. Prophet Samuel came to him and anointed him and chose him and spoke into his life and said, "You're going to be king." And that was wonderful, and that was exciting, and I'm sure David got pretty excited about it. But my goodness, it took somewhere between 12 and 15 years before he actually became king over all of Israel. And he went through many, many trials and difficulties in the process. Just remember, when God gives you a prophetic utterance, there's a process that you're going to go through. And sometimes you just have to cook. He puts you in a pressure cooker, and you have to cook a little bit.
Yes, sir.
You know, I appreciate it when Tammy puts some meat in the pressure cooker, and we come home from church. It's nice and tender. It's wonderful. But it's been there for a while.
Yeah.
It's not comfortable. But we need to cook sometimes and prepare. In order just to be the pastor of this church, God has put me in a pressure cooker many times. But praise God for that. Recognize that that's part of the fulfillment of the prophetic utterance that God has given you. He's calling you. He's equipped you. Every one of you sitting in this place, God wants to speak into your life. And he's using you. I don't care what you're doing. You are a part of the kingdom of God. You need to hear prophecies. You need to allow prophetic utterance to come into your life. You need to be used in these giftings. You need to allow God's word to stir inside of you to the point that no matter what you're doing, you're not all going to be called into the fivefold pulpit ministries. That's not what it, look, listen to what the word of God said. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for what? For the perfecting, for equipping and preparing the saints to do the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. That's what these giftings are all about. That we get to go out and do the work of the ministry. And we can be excited about the work of the ministry. I'm not just doing the work of the ministry. This is part of the work of the ministry, but this is equipping. Yes. You're being equipped and prepared. You're being prepared to hear prophetic words and receive those prophetic words in your life. You're being equipped to give prophetic words. That's right. And speak into other people's lives. You're being equipped to do the work of the kingdom. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.